7 o'clock, you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, the last strains of the mini evening concert. We're heading now to the second in our series of municipal election forums. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director, and tonight we have candidates for mayor in the studio. I'm joined by Mary Magnuson, Nancy Cavanaugh, and Scott McAdams, who are contending for the mayor's chair on the Sitka Assembly, a two-year term. And we're here to take your calls tonight. The number is 747-5877. Before we get to any calls, though, I'm going to give each candidate a chance to introduce himself or herself and explain why they're running. So we'll just go ahead and start with you, Mary, to let us say hello and tell us why you're here.
Good evening, Robert. Thanks for having us, by the way. My name's Mary Magnuson, and I'm running for mayor. I work here in Sitka. I run the office at the Sitka National Cemetery and Sitka Memorial Park, and also work part-time at the Channel Club. And I'd say the main reason that I'm running for mayor is that I'm concerned about priorities and keeping it affordable to stay here. So we'll let the questions answer the rest.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. Nancy Cavanaugh.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cavanaugh. Thank you, Rob. I've been a member of the Assembly here for the last 2 years, and that's probably my biggest reason for wanting to run for mayor, is feeling like I can definitely make a difference sitting in that chair and setting a tone in the meetings that is respectful and positive and looking towards the future for Sitka, which I want to be optimistic and see us grow. So that's why I'm running.
Okay. Thanks, Nancy. Scott McAdams.
Well, good evening, and thank you, Robert, and also thanks to Mary and Nancy for being here tonight. Again, my name is Scott McAdams. I am a six-year school board member here in Alaska, Sitka. Three of those years I've served as the school board chairman. I'm running because I believe that there is an art and science to good governance. I've been a student of governance over the 6 years I've been a school board member. And really hope to bring my experience as a public chairman to the office of mayor.
Okay, thanks, Scott McAdams. The number again is 747-5877 if you'd like to offer a question up for our mayoral candidates. Last night we had Assembly candidates in the studio, and it was quite a lively conversation. I appreciate all the calls. A lot of those same questions, I think, are also applicable to these candidates. And tomorrow night, so you know, we'll be having the school board candidates in. So three municipal candidate forums here on Raven Radio this week. I guess I have a lot of questions here, too, and I'll just dive into my list. And if we get a call, I'll drop what I'm doing and let the public have a chance to address their candidates. But I've divided my questions into policy questions, issue questions, some what ifs, if you were on the Assembly when some important decisions were made, and then a question or two about the vision that you'd like to see in Sitka in the future. Anyway, I guess I'll just launch into it since the public is giving me this opportunity. I think we'll just start, move this way, and then move back with Scott. I'll just start with you, Mary. What's the role of the Assembly in local government? And I have a follow-up question about the mayor's role, but what do you see our local governing body doing? What's its main function in your mind?
I think the main function of our Assembly is to do the business of the city, meet the responsibilities that come with being a municipality and taking care of the roads and the infrastructure and maintaining what we already have, and at the same time controlling the growth of the city government and city staff. As our population declines, we seem to be getting more staff all the time. And I think it's the Assembly's role is to have a fiduciary responsibility with the taxpayers' money and making sure that it's very wisely spent and that we do all we can to keep our budget under control.
All right. Thanks, Mary. Nancy, you've been on the Assembly now for a couple of years. What do you see as the role there?
Well, I think the Assembly's role, for at least from my perspective, is really to set policy and to look at the future of our city and to project into that future and try and be visionary and plan for a future so that not only the citizens that are here now that can enjoy the community, but that we're looking for a place where our children and our children's children will also be able to enjoy it. So it's really setting policy. It certainly is running the business of the city, but we're setting that policy and direction and then hiring good people to do that job for us.
Okay. Thanks, Nancy. Scott, you're transitioning from school board to assembly, possibly. What do you see as the assembly's role?
I think that the role of the assembly is very similar, and the model is quite similar to that of school boarding, only there's a broader constituency with a larger array of issues that are dealt with within city government. But ultimately, I think the assembly is and ought be the voice of the people of the community. They are the elected leadership of the community. I'd agree with Nancy. The assembly's primary task is one of not only policymaking but budget and governance. And I believe that in its governance role, really ultimately the assembly is charged and responsible with providing the vision for city government within the departments in city government, creating the structure through budget to support that vision, holding. The assembly is bound to hold itself accountable to the vision that it creates. It's also bound to advocate for the vision that it creates. And ultimately, I believe the assembly's role is to maintain a level of ethics that allows itself to do the first four. So, again, the assembly's charged with supervising and overseeing the city administrator and the city attorney. And then hires the best people it can to carry out the function of city government.
Thanks, Scott. Mary said something in her response about limiting the size of city government. I got a question this afternoon on my, actually this was called in. I took email questions and some folks just called in some questions. Should there be a hiring freeze in the city workforce?
I don't see there being a need for a hiring freeze, especially if all department heads are well aware of the budget challenges that we have. If there's a need for services that are essential, I would hate to see there be a hiring freeze particularly in an area that related to health, safety, anything like that. And I think again. While it is the assembly's role to be able to maximize services within finite budgets, I do think that we need to also listen to our professionals in the field as they give us their recommendation for staff. So if there's essential services that need to be hired for, I certainly wouldn't stand for a hard and fast and absolute freeze.
What about you, Nancy?
Well, I feel the same way. I think that we're certainly not in that situation right now. We're definitely looking at a tight budget, and as we project for our next budget season in March and April and May next year, I think that we're going to be making some very difficult decisions. But at the place that we're at right now, I don't see a freeze being necessary, and I think there really aren't that many positions open. At present, we have a few positions vacant that need to be filled, and when we find the right people, they will get filled. I think we run a pretty lean government. Not that there isn't always room, I think, to look at trimming, but I think we can be proud of the government that we run here. It is lean, and I hear from other communities that they're pretty proud of Sitka. They're pretty amazed at what we can do, so I feel the same way.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. Mary.
I certainly don't think we need a formal freeze of hiring. I think an informal one, direction to the department heads that, of course, nothing in essential services we can't do without certain positions, but by attrition we could reduce the size of the city staff. I don't advocate laying anybody off, but it could come to that if the economy doesn't improve. And we continue to spend the way we have in the past, we're not going to be able to support the size of staff we have. But I certainly wouldn't advocate an absolute freeze, no.
All right. Thanks, Mary. This is a live candidate call-in forum with candidates for Sitka mayor. The number to call is 747-5877. We have a caller on the line.
Good evening. Yes, this is with regards to the feasibility study for wood heat for municipal facilities. Craig apparently has reduced their heating bill by half, like 50%, by going to wood boilers and basically wood heat. And the city assembly decided not to pursue that as an option. I'd be curious to see what the candidates have to say.
All right. Thanks. Thank you for your call. Nancy, you're up, and you also happened to be on the assembly that night when the wood heat issue was brought forward. And any second thoughts, or will it be coming to the table again, or are you still going with hydro?
I think we have to go with hydro, and again, it's looking at the budget as a whole. I think the wood idea is a great idea. It's not that the idea itself is not a good one, and you know, it sounds like it is working in Craig, which is exciting for them. They're not in the same position that we're in, and they do have more plentiful wood supply than we have here. But saying that, I think that we, as you know, and I was convinced, I had this discussion in the assembly. I came into the meeting with a pretty open mind. I was certainly seeing some of the positive sides of doing this. But as we look at what resources that we have in the city and what our abundancy is really is in hydro. And with limited resources, I think we do have to be thinking about putting them in the hydro basket and moving forward with that and making that a win-win situation for our community. Now, that's not to say that I wouldn't support some small organization in town that would like to give this a try. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if the Forest Service had their building be wood-fired and use that as a pilot program and show us that, you know, how much does it cost to for that infrastructure to make it work? We don't have right now an extra $1 million to put into the equipment that's going to make that wood burning option a reality. So I'd love to see somebody try it, and I'd love to support that. But from the city's aspect, I think we had to look at what's realistic for us and with our resources that we have now.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. Scott, what about you? Did you get a chance to track the wood energy issue at the assembly the other night?
I did, and I had a chance to speak with some folks regarding the issue. I actually had the opportunity to, because I think one of the things, and this is one of those situations, and I've seen it in within my own body that I've chaired, where you put something out for public comment, you ask for public input at the meeting, maybe you look for some professional expertise and discretion, and then it comes back to the body for deliberation. Doing some further investigation beyond what was just discussed at the assembly table, there may actually be readily available wood out there to be able to fuel a project like this. And I, again, I would agree that maybe we take a look at this for targeted buildings, specific places. But again, I think energy policy in Sitka needs to be comprehensive. It can't be, I don't think we put all of our eggs in one basket. I think we probably would all agree that the lowest hanging fruit here is the extension of the Blue Lake Dam and a third turbine put online. But we also need to look at other things. I mean, when we talk about Tackett's, and in fairness, the $2 million feasibility study that was approved by the assembly, as I understand it, was grant money. So those are dedicated funds. But, you know, you're talking about $1 million in equipment for, which is from a different fund source. So in fairness, that's like comparing apples and oranges. But $1 million investment as part of a comprehensive solution might be something to look at. And one final thought, when you look at Tackett's, you're talking about $250 million dam with a $60 million transmission line. Now, while I hope, I think that ultimately down the line, Tackett's might produce the energy Sitka needs for its future. I did the math. That's $34,000 per citizen. That's a lot of congressional earmarks between now and then to bring that thing online. So I think we need to look now at the low-hanging fruit and the move towards the bigger projects as we go.
Mary, you want to take a shot at wood energy?
Sure. I have to agree with Nancy. I think that hydro is our cheapest, most abundant, cleanest resource right now for our power. I think we can get some more power online by devoting some money to getting the dam project finished, getting as many turbines as will fit there. I have not talked to anybody about whether or not it's even an option to put in a fourth. I would love to see us move away from oil dependency. And I have to agree with Mr. Sherrod that I'm a little sketchy about the idea that we can draw a steady wood supply without any problems to invest the kind of investment that it would require. I also am skeptical about the cost of that wood. You know, even if it's standing free in the forest, the cost of getting it here and storing it and building the facility to store it and hiring more city employees to handle wood, buying more trucks to drive wood around, the cost, grant money is never free. And here's a classic example, even if they gave us the incinerator.
All right. Thanks, Mary. We have another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Robert.
Hi.
Yes. This is a question for particularly Nancy. But I was personally offended by her vote on not allowing the roundabout to come to a popular vote. It was like she was saying, well, none of us had the sense to vote on it. That because she was on the assembly that, oh, well, then they were the only ones who should be able to vote on it. I was offended by that.
So you'd like the assembly to reevaluate when it decides to put something out to the public, to give more consideration to the public? Is that...
Correct. I would like to be able to vote on it.
Okay.
I personally will vote against her, but I would also would like to be able to vote against the initiative.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for your call.
Yeah.
I'll put it to the candidates. All right, Nancy, that was sort of directed at action you took. However, we'll get to you. I think Mary's up first. The roundabout issue is volatile, but also the initiative issue in general. This person seemed to feel a little put out that the roundabout didn't come forward. Have you had a chance to sort of digest people's feelings surrounding these issues lately and come to sort of a position on when things should go to initiative and when they shouldn't?
Actually, I have. I have some personal initiative experience myself. Several years ago, I put forth the local cruise ship head tax. So I'm familiar with the process of getting something put forward as an initiative. I'm not sure there was actually time for the citizens to do that themselves because it was approved in a space where there would not have been time to submit it to the city and have it done. Personally, had I been sitting at the table, I would have been in favor of putting it to a vote.
All right. Nancy, the roundabout issue, who would have thought it would have generated this much public interest?
I think, you know, it's a wonderful thing about SICK is that there's so much activism by our citizens, and people really are pretty interested in what we do. And when we sit on the assembly and it's recorded on, you know, the next day on the radio or in the news, everything that we say is taken as a soundbite. And sometimes in saying things, I listen the next day too, and I think I didn't say that as clearly as I would have liked to. And so I certainly take ownership if I offended anyone. That wasn't my intent. However, the spirit of behind that that vote was that when you elect people to run your city government, there certainly is a time when the assembly as a whole needs to take a decision back to the people, and it needs to be an initiative. Taxation is one for sure, and of course the charter regulates some of that. But there are times when you really do need the citizens to vote on something to make that decision if it's in their interest to move forward with that kind of a policy, with that kind of a direction. Really, the roundabout I did not see as a decision that needed to go before the people, and we have to make tough decisions. And that was a tough decision I was willing to live with the consequences of. So it's just a call. I'm, you know, half the people are unhappy with the decisions that we make, and the other half are congratulating us. So I'm sorry for those that weren't happy with that decision, but it's
all right.
Moving forward.
Thanks, Nancy. Scott, the initiative process, the roundabout, this caller's concern over that.
Sure. Well, to answer the question directly, I don't think that that intersections and public works projects necessarily need rise to the level of direct vote of the people. We are prescribed by charter regarding items such as taxation, large land purchases, land transfers. There's other things that were prescribed in charter. But here's where I might have done, and of course hindsight's always 20/20, and it's easy to be an armchair quarterback. But think perhaps the way I might have done things differently as chairman is similar to the way we've dealt with controversial issues on the school board, and that is to have a full and open public process in the form of a town hall meeting before this assembly decides on its most controversial issues. I think that the roundabout, because of the public concern and because of the interest, would have risen to the specter of having an open, non-agenda-driven meeting to allow everyone to come and speak their piece on the matter. That way, I think it's a middle ground between direct initiative and a formalized motion on an agenda. It creates a buffer that allows people to come and influence, and it allows all perspectives to be heard, all truths to be weighed, as the assembly makes decisions on its most controversial issues. And that would have been what I would have done on the roundabout.
All right. Thank you, Scott. We are taking calls tonight. The number is 747-5877. I have only two lines. If you call and get the Raven Radio answering machine, that means both lines are taken. So please be patient and try your question a little bit later. In the meantime, we've got a caller. Hi, you're on the air. Oh, I'm sorry. I think we lost that person. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is a question. Sitka experiences high rates of domestic violence and substance abuse, which impacts the health of our community. In your role as mayor, how would you work to address this crucial public health issue in Sitka?
All right, thank you for the call. High rates of domestic violence. Let's see, Scott, you want to take this one first?
Sure. Not just only in Sitka, but across the board, Alaska has some of the poorest social indicators in the United States. I'm a person who grew up in this state, and unfortunately, as a kid in the 1970s, the case was true just as it is in the community in the second decade of the 21st century. I think one of the primary things that the city and borough of Sitka can do to help combat this plague in our community is a few things. I know the Sitka Tribe of Alaska has done a good job with their Family Resource Center in providing services to people who need them. I think that those type of efforts need to remain legislative priorities for the Assembly, and we need to partner in any way that we can. Another thing, it's interesting because people in my statewide advocacy, people have often framed Sitka as being a liberal town. And our neighbors to the south, who we share a Senate district with in Ketchikan, is being the conservative town in our Senate district. Yet, Sitka does far less as it relates to supporting, at least at the municipal level, supporting services in health and social services than the city of Ketchikan does. They actually have a department that is a human behavioral health department in city government. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating that. In fact, I would advocate that we block grant resources to Sitkans Against Family Violence at the highest level we're able to at the assembly table. So it's something I believe we need to combat, and but we're not even close to getting there yet.
Mary, domestic violence in Sitka. How to deal with it?
Of course, everyone is against domestic violence, and I think that Sitka is making some inroads into helping their community. I think the new facility down on Catlian Street, the partnering of the tribe and the Healing House and Safe Shelter and the police department, we of course need to keep the level of funding up on all of these things so that they can operate and operate well. I think awareness is one of the key things to domestic violence. I think keeping things secret. You know, there is something to be said for peer pressure, and I think if people felt more comfortable coming forward and saying this is happening, and maybe we read about it a little more in the paper, I think it would make people more aware. I think the Safe Shelter does a great job of raising funds on their own. Sitka is an extremely generous community. I know through my volunteer efforts at the Elks Lodge particularly that anytime there's a fundraiser for a good cause, people are out there. And I don't know that the Assembly can really change very much except to support the things that are already going on and encourage awareness.
All right. Thanks, Mary. Nancy, you've seen this in your 2 years on the Assembly.
I have. You know, as a pediatric nurse practitioner, I'm pretty aware of the devastating effects that it has on our kids in the community and our families and eventually our community altogether. It's a difficult decision. It's a community problem. It takes a community solution. And I know, being on the Assembly, that I believe the Assembly's been a strong advocate for the Safe Shelter and the Family Justice Center. We'll continue to do so, and I would like to see us do more. I think that collaborating with the Family Justice Center was a very positive move. I'd like to see our police department and Safe Shelter working strongly together and helping to send that message into homes that our city cares. But it's really kind of an attitude thing that we all have to take. It's if we treat each other as a family in our community, if we treat each other nicely and think positively about each other and share positive things with each other and care enough about when people are abusing substances and reaching out to get, you know, people help, supporting people who are suffering with that in their homes and mental illness in their homes. You know, we need to be a community that cares, and it starts with good neighbors, and it starts with strong families, and then moves out. And I think, you know, it's an attitude that we all have to take.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.